Acts of the Apostles, please. Verse 27, or chapter 27, verse 25. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, verse 25. Wherefore, sons, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I'm going to read this verse just a little different from I read it. I read it correctly, believe it or not. You look at your Bible. I'm going to read it this time a little different. Wherefore, sons, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even or exactly as God has said. No change. I believe God that it shall be exactly as God has said. A little girl, 5 years of age, was in the meeting when they were hiring a new pastor in one of our very valuable churches. And he was doing his best to make an impression on the people. And finally, when he got to some pretty touchy scriptures, he said, well, of course, God don't mean it that way. You know some of these little five-year-old tots can ask some very peculiar questions, even to preachers like us. She walked up to this well-educated preacher, and she says, Mister, you're a well-educated person. Me never went to school, not even kindergarten yet. And says, I would like to ask you a question, if you don't mind. And, of course, he said to the little tot, you go right to it, you ask me a question, I'll be glad to answer the little tot's question. He said, if God didn't mean, or the little tot said, if God didn't mean what he said, why didn't he say what he meant? And the man was puzzled. I want to remind you, my friends, that God said what he meant and meant what he said. And I believe God tonight that it shall be exactly as God has said. Now, I didn't change the scripture when I put in that word exactly. You can't add to the word and you can't take from the word. When I heard tonight that wonderful verse quoted in my hearing or read from the Bible in my hearing, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I believe God that it shall be exactly as God has said. That if your sins are going to be forgiven, they must be forgiven on earth. For I believe God that it shall be exactly as God has said, and God has said that if you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot come. That settles it. I don't care how rich your grandmother might be. I don't care how rich your uncle might be. The Bible says that if you die in your sin, where God is, there you can never come. Now you say you are going a little bit too far. No, my friends, because God says what he means and means exactly what he says. If you're going to get into God's heaven, preparation must be made here. There is no use in thinking about preparation after you die. There is only two places, there is not a middle place. There is no neutrality with God. You're either saved tonight and on your road to heaven, or you're lost and on your road to hell. The book, it says, and God says it, and I believe it's going to be exactly as God has said, that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now you either have everlasting life, or you have not everlasting life. It says again, he that believeth on the Son hath. Do you have here and now everlasting life? The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, my friends, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're either a believer or you're not a believer. You're either condemned already condemned, or you're not condemned. You either have Christ tonight, or you have not Christ tonight. You're either on the road up or the road down, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And most people, my friends, are passing the door by. They're too busy to even see the door. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and most people pass it by, for few there be that find it. Now I come on down the line a little bit more, and I find out that God has plainly told us that there is a heaven to be shown, and there is a heaven to be gained. But the same God that tells me that there's a heaven to be shown, is that what I said? Well, that's the way you'd almost think some people would say. A heaven to be gained and a hell to be shown. And you'd almost think, my friends, the way people are trying to sort of sidetrack the gift, that's what they really meant, they want to show the gift. You'd almost think, my friends, the way the people believe God, that they were almost trying to forget there was such a thing as a gift. But God says that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Now a heaven's a real place. Just as much a place as Sioux City, Iowa is a place. And I want to remind you before going any further that hell's a real place. Just as much as Sioux City, Iowa is a real place. And we are told exactly who's going to be in hell and who's going to be in heaven. Now the saved of the earth is going to be in heaven. Men and women whose sins are forgiven is going to be in heaven. And if your sins are not forgiven, you're not going to be in heaven. There's two ways of dying. You either can die in the Lord or die in your sins. And if you die in the Lord, my friends, when you die, you go straight to heaven, absent from the body, present or at home with the Lord, which is far better. If you die in your sins, you go down to a place which is called H-E-L-L. Now you say, well, brother, I took nothing into this world, and I'm not going to take anything out of this world. You will be surprised when I tell you that they're going to take more with you than you even are aware of. But I have in this book before me tonight, and if you want any proof of it, I will be more than glad to read it to you, because God says it, and I believe what God says. I read of one man that lived here upon this earth, and he died. And you're going to die because man liveth and wasteth away and he dies. And if he dies, where is he? Man dieth, my friend. And if you live and if you die, where are you going to be after you die? And you may die tonight. You may. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, indeed he shall live again. Man dieth and wasteth away. Man giveth up the ghost. Where is it? I want to ask you that question tonight. If you were to drop dead right in the meeting, where would you be? You say, well, I'm going to be in heaven or I'm going to be in hell. Yes, there's some going to be in heaven, there's some not going to be in heaven. And I said already that you're going to take a number of things with you when you leave this old world. And the 16th of Luke tells you of a man that absolutely took 14 things with him, and maybe more, but there's only 14 that he can find. I'm not saying that's the only things he took with him. You say, well, I never knew that he took anything with him. Well, I'm going to coach some of them to you, and then you can do a little thinking, because that's not what I'm going to preach on tonight. The first thing that I find out, that the rich man died and he was buried. Now that means to say that his body was laid in a coffin and lowered into 6 foot of Mother Earth. All that ever goes to the cemetery is the body, the house where the soul stays. And in case you don't know what the soul is, I'd better tell you. The soul is the person that's speaking to you. The spirit, the soul of the person appears through these ears, speaks through these lips, sees through these eyes, feels with these hands. The soul, my friends, is the person that understands. And at death, that person that looks and sees and hears and understands takes its departure on either to heaven or hell. Now, this man died and his body went into the cemetery just the same as many bodies go into the cemetery. But we are told that he himself, now I want you to mark that, I'm quoting from the 16th chapter of Luke. I don't care what translation you have, I don't care what Bible, you just go to the Bible and you turn up the 16th of Luke and you read it for yourself. That man died and we find he was buried. That his body was buried and he himself opened up his eyes being in hell. Now the first thing I find out that he had eye movement after he died. You would have never thought that. If you had looked into the casket where he was, you would have said, man, he looks nice. Some people, the old house looks better when it's polished up in the funeral parlor and a little air put into the veins than when the man was living in. But the man's gone. And the body is lying cold in death, but he opened his eyes in another place. The man that lived in the body. And let me tell you tonight that some of you are hearing my voice, and you're going to open your eyes in another place very soon. Some of you probably before even midnight tonight could pass over the great beyond. But this man died and he opened his eyes in another world, and he saw. He saw across a great gulf that could not be fathomed, not even crossed by one of your jet planes or your Russell missiles. And this man, he saw across that gulf, and when he saw across, he recognized, there is Lazarus. Now you say, well, if I die, will I know people after I die? Indeed you will. This man knew Lazarus. This man knew the man that used to tell him about the Lord Jesus, that used to tell him he needed to be born again if ever he was going to go into God's heaven. This man recognized, this man could see, this man had eye movement, this man had speech, he could talk. This man, my friend, never was a man praying like it. I would like you to hear that man praying, and I would like some of you in the meeting to pray like that man. You say, a man is praying down in hell. That man, my friends, had not only feelings, but that man had a missionary spirit. You know what he said? He said, if you can't bring a glass of water or even a drop, that's all he asked for. A drop of water, and let it drop on my tongue, that it might ease the pain for one solitary second. If you can't do that, he said, I want you to do one little favor for me. There's no favors in hell, let me tell you. I want you to do something for me. I want you to send someone to my five brothers. I tell you, that man was an elder. Some of you people as brothers is not saved. Some of you people as loved ones is not saved. Some of you people as mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, neighbors, friends, and this and that and the other thing, and are not saved. This man, he wanted a messenger sent to his five brothers lest they come into this place of torment. I'll tell you, my dear friends, that man was in dead end. I would to God you people that are saved were a dead earnest right here on behalf of souls, and you would pray and pray desperately tonight, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul to me, that I may humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. And if you get down to earnest with God here, you will see that soul saved, but there's no prayers answered after you leave this old world. That man, my friends, he prayed that someone, you don't want company in hell. I'll tell you, there's not a person wants you to go to hell. There is more people that's interested in your soul and keeping you out of hell, and there is that wants you to go to hell. And my friends, hell is a real place, and the fearful, those that are afraid, that trust the blood of Christ, the fearful, the unbelievers, the whoremongers and adulterers, and all liars shall have a part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone forever. I want to remind you, my friend and me, that I believe God that it's going to be exactly as God has said. Now, if you were to read this chapter, you would find out that there's a few things in the chapter that would touch your heart. The first thing I find out that they believed the master and the owner of the ship rather than the words of Paul. Paul was the mouthpiece for God. You will get men and women today and they'll believe the devil's lie against God's word. And the living God, my friend, is one that cannot lie. People are ready to believe everything rather than believe God. You have been hearing some of the most wonderful scriptures tonight that has ever been recorded in God's book. You have been hearing tonight how your sins can be forgiven through simple faith in the Lord Jesus. You say, I don't understand how my sins could be forgiven. There's only one way to have sins forgiven. You and I have sinned. Just as natural for you to sin as it is for a duck to swim. It's just as natural for you to swim as it is for a chicken to scratch when it comes out of an eggshell. Yeah, a chicken that comes out of an eggshell is born a scratcher, and you were born a sinner. And there's no use in you trying to pat yourself on the back and to think you're fair enough and good enough, because God says the soul that sinneth it shall die. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And if you're going to be in God's heaven, you'll have to come right out and own your sin and take your place as a sinner, because the Son of Man came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, says Paul. And if the chief of sinners is in heaven, the salvation for you tonight is to take the place of a sinner. Let me again illustrate. You say, how could I have the forgiveness of sins tonight? Well, it's just like this. There was only one that could bring about the forgiveness of sins, and that was the Lord Jesus. And away back, my friends, 2,000 years ago, we read that God sent his Son into the world. That's what he said. And he sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The last offer to a perishing world was, last of all, he sent his Son. 2,000 years almost has come and gone since God sent his Son. Why did he send his Son into the world? To pay the penalty of sin. You couldn't pay the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. You have earned the wages. I have earned the wages. You couldn't pay the debt. No, my friend, the debt of sin is too great. And there was only one that could pay the debt, and that was a man that knew no sin. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And that one that was rich, that laid aside all his riches, is the same one that knew no sin. When he was made sin for us. When was he made sin for us? When he hung on, bled and died on Calvary's rugged cross. That's when he was made sin for you. That's when he was made sin for me. And that one, my friend, that was made sin for you and I, is the one that paid the penalty. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I think of this book in my hand tonight. I think of that hand representing you as a sinner. I put that book, and that book represents your sins tonight. That hand represents the lovely man, Christ Jesus, the one that was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, the one that took your place on your shameful sins and your shameful death, and died the death of the cross to pay the bill. That hand represents that lovely man, Christ Jesus. God took those sins, and he laid them on his Son. My sins were laid on Christ. I'm believing, I am free. How then can a man receive the forgiveness of sins? My friends, there is only one way, and that is through the person of the Lord Jesus, for the Son of Man has power on this earth to forgive sins. That one died for your sins. He says, all my sins are before me. When did he sin? He never sinned, my friends. He knew no sin. When then could he say, all my sins are before me? When he took your place at Calvary, my friend. Calvary with all its sorrow. Calvary with all its guilt. Calvary with all its blood. Let me tell you, my friends, is at Calvary when he claimed your sins as his own sins. And he says, are my sins. Ah, he not only came from heaven, and he took the place of the sinner, but he claimed the sinner's sins and made them his own sin, and he died for those sins. That's what he did for you. No one ever loved you like Christ. And no one ever died for you but him. And he's saying, come to me. He's saying, come. Look at those hands. He holds them up there to Thomas. He says, Thomas, I want you to take a look at my hand. He's holding them up to you tonight. And I asked you to take that backward look to the cross. And you see those hands nailed to a Roman gibbet. Why are those hands nailed? It is because of your sin. How could you do anything else but love him? How could you do anything else but say to him, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me. I know you planned, I know you paid my debt. Right here in this meeting tonight, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to thank you for dying for me. And if you do, you'll be saved. You said it comes that easy, yes. It wasn't easy for him. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What report? That he should die for a sinner like you. Surely he hath borne my grief and carried my sorrow. Yet if it is demon stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was bruised for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement that should have been given to me was given to him. With his stripes and said, What have you done, Nicola? I'll tell you what I've done. Oh, you hear so much today. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'll tell you, you're doing more than the best you can. You're doing it all. You say, I'm doing it all. Yes, you're doing it all. All what? You're doing all the sinning. That's all you can do. You're doing all the sinning. But I'll tell you something else, he did all the dying. He did all the saving. Oh, you say, can I do something? Oh, no, 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 the debt is paid. Salvation is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. When do I start to do? I'll tell you, friends, a child can't do a solitary thing until that child is born. You can't do one thing to save yourself, not lift a little finger until the fall. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you don't need to try to work your way to heaven, my friend, because you can't work your way to heaven. The dying thief knew that. He couldn't get down. He was nailed to the cross. He said, we're getting the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing of this. He recognized there was a man hanging on the middle cross that was dying not for his own sin, because he had done nothing amiss. He's dying for my sin. And he turned and he says, Lord, remember me. He claimed him as his Lord and his Savior. Lord, remember me. And thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord didn't wait for him to come into the kingdom. He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Ah, dear friends, I believe God that it shall be exactly as God has said. You will take him as at his word tonight, and you believe that he died for you. God says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. I could go on. Now, I'll give you one little other illustration or two before I sit down. I come into Acts chapter 1, and I find out in Acts chapter 1 that the angels, two heavenly beings, they testified to those disciples standing gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus that you saw go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you saw him go. My friends, I believe God that it shall be exactly as God has said. He's going to come just as he was. Oh, I can see Thomas there in the crowd, and I can see Peter, and I can see John. I wonder when they heard those words, what they were thinking. I wonder what Peter was thinking. I could almost imagine as he listened to those words, this same Jesus shall so come and let manage his own goal. I could almost imagine Peter, the same one that was carrying his cross up God's feet. The same one when I stood and I warmed myself at the world's fire and I stepped aside from following the Savior. That same one that looked back on me, and when I saw him, I went out and wept with him. Ah, dear friends, when Peter saw that face that looked on him, the face of compassion, he went out and he wept with him. And I can hear Peter saying within himself, that compassionate Savior is going to come. It's the same one that had compassion on me when I denied him. It's the same one that had compassion on me when I turned my back on him. Oh, dear friends, I believe God that it shall be even as God has said. I can see Thomas in the crowd. You can almost see him too. Thomas is listening to those heavenly beings, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Thomas, what do you think? Oh, I think of that day. That day when I stood in the upper room. That day when I stood at home and I said, I'll never believe that.